But I want our next guest is going to take us through her numbers. Sanisha Pakirisamy is an economist from Momentum Investments joining us. She released a report overnight going into the actual digits of the actual numbers of the budget. And I'm going to kick off. Welcome to the Breakfast Show for the first time, Sanisha. I want to kick off with a challenge to you with respect to, or at least to Tito Mboweni. How is it that he sees us going into a budget surplus by 2025? Welcome.
Good morning, Rufiwe, and thanks for having me on your show. So Tito's main plan here, which is generally more positive than what we've seen in prior years, is to achieve a five-year stabilization plan on the debt numbers and the fiscal numbers. But the way in which he's going to do this is to try and cut back on expenditure rather than to increase taxes, which we've seen a number of years in a row, and that has, of course, really clamped down on consumer spending in the recent while. However, the expenditure side of things is heavily reliant on cutting the wage bill. And as a result, we do think that implementation risk of achieving this sort of debt stabilization plan is quite high at this point in time.
And it seemed as though the market felt the same way. Can you just take us through some of the market reactions?
Sure. So we looked at the market reaction relative to the previous night's close, and you actually saw that the equity market fell over 2%. That was really dragged down lower by the resource shares as well as financial shares. Industrials didn't suffer as much of a blow because a lot of those shares are also dual listed, and we know that the Rand sold off, so that would have helped at the margin. And then we saw the bond market actually selling off slightly relative to the previous close. And generally, when you have an unchanged government borrowing requirement, you don't have the bond yield selling off. So this does actually tell us that even though the fiscal projections were more favorable than what the market consensus was looking for, I think the markets really dipped because of that slower than previously indicated pace of fiscal consolidation, particularly the outer years, and given that there is quite a lot of implementation risk that is attached to trying to cut the civil servant wage bill.
So exactly. I mean, an optimistic projection is just that. One can make it whatever one wants it to be. These risks seem to be getting worse and worse. And I think, would it be fair to say, you know, that bond yield was just demonstrating that the market just doesn't buy it?
I think the market is actually, you know, expressing their concern that in the medium term, a lot of these plans will not actually be achievable. So I think, you know, some of the shorter term numbers in terms of this particular fiscal year, you know, those numbers could potentially materialize. But going further out, a lot hinges on achieving a wage bill freeze. And if we look at what's happening with the last year of the 2018 wage agreement, that still needs to be settled in court. This doesn't actually give us any firm indication that government will be able to achieve the wage bill freeze for the next 3 years.
And in the meantime, COVID-19 extends and protracts, right? So, which means that there's a greater and greater number of, I suppose, quote-unquote, emergency distress that needs to be placed on the fiscus, which has been extended to early next year. Do you see that going any further?
What we have found with the COVID-19 crisis is that the one thing that does help to bring people out of poverty is the social grant system. So just as the COVID-19 pandemic hit South Africa, you know, we saw malnutrition rates spiking, levels of poverty spiking, and as soon as the social grant recipients started to receive the monies, we actually started to see those rates of poverty and malnutrition starting to drop again. And that really just attests to how successful the social grant system can actually be in alleviating poverty for many households in South Africa. In fact, there were another 12 million new recipients that actually received income protection through the Social Relief of Distress grant. And I think, you know, there are very loud voices that are now advocating for some kind of basic income grant. And that's really to alleviate poverty going forward, because a large percentage of these people that are currently receiving the grant may not actually find a job once the money dries up at the end of January. And this means that we will have higher levels of poverty on a more sustainable basis. Of course, the question is, where will that additional funding come from? And it does sort of raise the question mark over whether we will get some sort of solidarity wealth tax in the future in order to fund a program like the basic income grant.
That's quite a That's an interesting one. So let's talk a little bit about the spending of that potential tax and the like, moving from consumption towards investment. Where in the numbers, when you look at the medium-term expenditure framework, are you seeing that actually materialize in the spending priorities?
On a very positive note, we are actually seeing that in the numbers. So there are two line items that you'll take note of here. The one is the civil servant or government wage bill and the rate of growth here. And the second one is to look at capital assets. And what we're actually seeing is the real growth in the wage bill. So after taking account of inflation, over the next three fiscal years is actually at -2% for the government wage bill. Whereas if you look at the capital asset growth, which is essentially your infrastructure, that is actually growing at a real, which is inflation adjusted, rate of 5.2% in the same period. So that definitely shows a very concerted effort of government trying to realign the composition of spending away from consumption and towards investment. And this is very important in our economy because the multiplier coming through from consumption in terms of how it actually affects overall growth is much lower than the multiplier that is attached with investment. So for every rand that we spend on investment, we're getting more bang for our buck in terms of overall GDP growth.
To the extent that the implementation is actually, you know, fulfilled of the capital growth. Sanisha?
We are looking for essentially the infrastructure fund to start pulling in private sector investment, and that partnering up with your public sector is then going to be the enabler of investment spend over the next couple of years. But again, this is not going to be an overnight issue. We do know that a lot of the infrastructure projects, you know, do have very long implementation timelines. And part of the problem is that investor confidence is still very muted in the South African environment, which then does put off private investors from wanting to embark on further new infrastructure projects because they are just generally worried about policy and political uncertainty in general.
Mm. I do see a number of very interesting developments there as well in the market. The crowding in that government is doing, it's going to be a bit of an exciting sort of infrastructure program, or at least a partnership with the private sector. It's just finally, you know, the Minister of Finance quite confident that he doesn't expect a ratings downgrade on the back of this, certainly not from, I think it was Fitch, that they had to meet with. What is your view?
I think there's no immediate pressure right now, potentially only from Standard & Poor's global ratings. They still have South Africa at the lowest rating from all three rating agencies that we look at, but their outlook on the economy is unstable. And I think if they are quite concerned about a continued deterioration in fiscal and growth metrics, they could put that negative outlook on from the current stable outlook without actually lowering the rating. But as we go into 2021, I would say that the risk to further downgrade remains quite high. We are still in an environment where there's a consensus-building nature of the incumbent administration, and this very incremental pace of structural reform doesn't really indicate that South Africa is on a very firm path towards really alleviating issues of poor confidence and trying to meaningfully kickstart growth. And that, for me, suggests that the bias is definitely to lower sovereign ratings in the next few years.
Alrighty. Doesn't all go very well, but I think many of us are not surprised. Sanisha Pakirisamy, thank you so much for joining us, economist at Momentum Investments.